Have everybody bow their head. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to fellowship and gather together in your name. And I thank you for Donna. I thank you for her willingness to just share your word, Lord God. And I just pray that your anointing would fall upon her, Lord God, that you would just bless this time and bless every ear here that has is open to hear what you have to say to them today, Lord. That hearts would be changed and that we would leave here different than we came in, Lord God. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to start off with a song. I just think it's really important learning about the armor, that we get our mind and our hearts in the right place, because God wants to bless us today, and he's going to expose the enemy for who he is.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was falling. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven
today was an appropriate time to play it, because we need to realize that he overcame so we can overcome.
Amen.
So that battle armor we can put on, and we can fight and we can overcome anything the enemy throws our way. I want to look at Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In him he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And I think for us to go into spiritual battle, we need to first recognize that we've been chosen. You might think you chose him or that you're here by some coincidence, but he chose us. Amen. Before we were ever in this world, when he created us, we were meant to be warriors. Amen. For Christ and to overcome. So, are we at war? Well, let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a war going on, ladies. We don't see it, but it's going on all the time. And it's up to us. Since he called us, right? Where he created us for this purpose. So we're to do battle also. And maybe some of you weren't real forceful, maybe in the world. But God wants you to be forceful in the kingdom. So who is our commander in chief? And who do we get our orders from? Of course, God. And what is our part? And how do we know what to do? Well, Jesus was our example. We're to go to the Father. So we have to spend time with him. We have to pray. Sometimes it takes getting up before the day begins, especially with small children. I know when my kids were small, I had to get up before my day began. Otherwise, you know, it's harder. And so I would get up a couple hours early, and I would spend time in prayer. And I would get ready for the day. And any time I did that, my day went good. But any time I didn't, my day was hard. And so, you know, the enemy will always bring the scheme of you don't have time. Oh, just a little bit more sleep. But we have to let that sleep go because God will give us everything we need. You might be tired, but I can only tell you that when I spend time with the Lord, I feel refreshed. I feel alive no matter how much sleep I got. So who is our enemy? The devil. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you, and he steals. He steals our thought process. You know, that's his little battlefield, is our mind. So he comes in there and makes us think the worst. Thinks us think badly of our brothers and sisters. And the thing is that he is a robber and he's a thief and he wants to destroy. He hates you. He hates you because of who your father is. And he hated him and he thought he had him, but God fooled him, didn't he? I want to read this. Two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, record one of the greatest and most important battles that ever took place. It transpired nearly 2,000 years ago in the wilderness outside of Jerusalem. The lives of every human being in all of history hung on the outcome of this battle. Just before Jesus Christ began his ministry at around the age of 30, he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. From there, he went out to the desert to do battle with the ruler of this world, Satan. If he lost, there would be no future beyond the grave for anyone. The dominion of the earth was now under the prince of the power of the air. It's in Ephesians 2:2. When Jesus went to meet Satan in the wilderness, he came into the territory of the enemy. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And the rest is history, ladies, because we all know he won. But, you know, when he went into that desert and he did battle, He always came back to the enemy with the Word of God. And that's why it's so vital to us to read the Word, because without it, we can't do battle. You know, our armor is so important. If we can put it on every day. I mean, I pray mine on. But if we never use it, what good is it? So it's important. You know, I'm not going to go into what all the armor is, but you need to do a study on it. And you need to ask God to use you in battle, because it's so important. You know, when we pray, the heavenly realms hear those prayers and those battle, and they become stronger. You know, we have to fight. He fought for us. He died on the cross for us. And he has given us everything we need to do this battle. The enemy will tell you that you don't, that you don't matter, but that's a lie. Second Colossians 2:15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle of them on the cross. The enemy is a liar and a deceiver, and the thing is, this proves it. That when he died on that cross, when Jesus died on that cross, he disarmed them. So everything he comes, he lies to you. Everything he tells you you can't do, everything he says about your sisters or your brothers, it's a lie. You know, it's all here, ladies. And we know how our mind can go, especially as women. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:18. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We have a power of God in us, a mighty force. We don't have to put up with all his crap. All we have to do is fight. And we're going to have things in our life, don't get me wrong. We all have things. But if we don't spend that time with him, if we don't pray, if we don't seek our commander out, what he wants us to do each and every day, we're going to get tossed around. We're not going to be able to fight back. Luke 10:19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, if we believe the word of God, when he says nothing will harm us, we need to believe that. I mean, the enemy will make you feel like he's harmed you, like things aren't going right. But it's according to God's plan. We don't understand his ways. We don't. And what might seem like we're not winning, in reality, we are winning. So don't let him deceive you. Don't let him give you all those lies. The enemy only has the power we allow him to have. Distortion and deception will come our way, and through that, we will think there are other enemies, but we have to remember there's only one enemy. He has his little demons he uses, but the real enemy is the devil. And we have to always keep our eyes on, who's my enemy? When those thoughts are going through your mind that aren't good, who's your real enemy? I want to read this. It's the Battle of the Bulge. And it's funny because Donovan talked about Hitler and what was his name? Patton. And I like Patton. He's my kind of guy. And so, you know, he was saying, you know, Patton used to pray. And that's why he won that war. But let me tell you what the enemy did. With Hitler. One of the most important and bloodiest battles of World War II came to be called the Battle of the Bulge. In it, Adolf Hitler made a final desperate attempt to split the Allied enemies so that Germany could turn all her power against the Soviet army on the Eastern Front. His plan failed, and the German army was never able to mount a strong offensive again. More than 80,000 American soldiers were killed, maimed, or captured in nearly 6 weeks. Wow, that's a lot for 6 weeks. But what did he try and do? What did Adolf Hitler try and do? The same thing the enemy tries to do to us. What did he try to do? That's right, cause division. Because see, when he can cause division with each other, The next thing that comes along, you have division with the leadership. And then after that, you have division with, I don't think I should go to this church. And see, he drags us away, and then he comes on for the onslaught, and he kills us. And let me tell you, I've been in this church 30 years, and I've seen people come and go. And yeah, they're out there. They're going to church, but their lives are a mess because they believe the lie of the enemy. You cannot believe the lies of the enemy because he will make your perception of somebody so wrong. So when you get those thoughts, you need to fight. You need to say, this ain't going to happen. I'm not going to think that of my sister. And maybe she does have a weakness, but I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to pray for her. I'm not going to condemn her. I'm not going to look bad upon her. And maybe she's totally wrong. We're human. But in God's timing, in God's way, he'll bring that. He'll take care of that matter. When a kingdom is divided, it cannot stand. When a kingdom's divided, cannot stand. And we need to realize that. Maybe church will go on, but we might not if we don't get our hearts right, if we don't fight it. And I'm talking, if you can't get through it yourself, then you go to the leadership. And you let them help you through it. You expose that sin, because when we expose that sin, it can't hold us anymore. That's what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Either you believe this to be true or you don't.
That's right.
And that's what the Word says. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6. A battlefield is our minds. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as war does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's obliviate. That's to get them out of your life. That's not just to put them aside for a time. He's going to demolish them. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So see, ladies, we have the authority to take captive every thought. And let's face it, our mind goes through a lot of thoughts.
Amen.
I know mine does. It didn't for a while, but now it does. It was a blessing to have MS for a short time. But the enemy's going to put those thoughts in your mind. Because you know what? God's not going to put those thoughts in your head. He's not. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. But see, the enemy will make us fight out in our flesh. It's human nature. You know, when I was younger, that's what I used to do. I used to fight my flesh. But now I fight in the spiritual. And I was excited to come here today because I want to expose the enemy. We are not each other's enemy. And he will make you think that. He will make you believe that. But he's a liar and a deceiver. And we need to know that. I believe we know it, but we have to put it within our heart. Because we are for each other. You know, it's like when you go into war, if you don't have each other's back, Patton, they had each other's back. It was funny, the little man across the street came over yesterday. He's going to be 99. And he's fine. Like, he knows everything. He told us all about World War II yesterday that he was in. I said, oh, you were? And he's like, yeah. He was in the Navy, and his brothers were in the Army. And I said, tell me, how was the camaraderie on that ship or in the battle that you were in? He goes, it was good. We were together. But see, if we don't stick together, We're not going to win the war that Patton won. And that was just the flesh. We have a stronger God, a mighty God who can do anything. We don't have to fall prey to him. Things are going to come our way. But you guess what? He said it won't harm you. It's not going to harm us. If we believe that, then we'll fight. So I encourage you to put on your armor every day. And not just put it on. You better fight with it. Because we can kill him. He already, you know, God already won the war. He's just asking us to go through this battle. He's trying to take as many people as he can, just like the enemy is. He's a liar. When we're in battle, we have to take a stand. We have to say, I'm not going to believe those lies. I choose to believe the best in my sister. And if she's having a hard time, I'm going to pray for her. I'm not going to condemn her. So we have to stand, ladies, and stand strong.
That was good, Donna. I'm going to be talking about the armor, too, but in a different perspective. You know, God had spoke to me how many times it is his word that brings the ability to stand. And I thought about my own life and how many things that I have gone through from the time of childhood all the way up into being an adult woman. And, you know, the struggles were real. You know, I remember writing in one of my prayer journals, you know, Lord help me, because whether the thing that I'm dealing with is real or imagined, my emotions inside of me are still there. You know, whether I imagined it or whether it's the real thing, it was still a very difficult time in my life. Even as a little girl, my parents were divorced. I don't want to, when I'm talking about some of these scriptures and the things God taught me to stand on, I'm not going to elaborate a whole lot in all of that. But I do want to, you know, share with you how God taught me to rely on his word. And like Donna said, if you don't know the word, if you don't get into the word, if you don't find out what the word says about you, your life, you're going to struggle. You know, this world is full of trouble. You know, the battles are real. You know, it's not pretend all the time. Yeah, some things, like, you know, Donna was saying, there are things as women that we do imagine, you know, because we are emotional. And I don't mean imagine in the sense that something is not really happening, but sometimes we can make it a mountain out of a molehill, you know, or put our perspective on something that really wasn't the truth. It wasn't the person's heart motive, or it wasn't our husband's heart motive, it wasn't our children's heart motive, but suddenly we've made it something huge. And Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And to stand, according to Webster's, is to tolerate without flinching and to bear courageously. So we can bear courageously the things that are around us, that we can stand. Then we can exhibit courage and strength or calm, especially in the face of adversity. So we do all these things. We put the armor on. We put on our helmet of salvation and guard our mind and know that in the end, no matter what, we have an eternal glory that we're going to see, no matter what goes on in this life or how long we live it, whether we're sick, healthy, no matter what issues we have to deal with. Because at this point in my life, you know, my kids are grown up. My last baby is graduating in a few weeks. He's going to college. You know, but I have not just a mom who's getting into her elderly years. I have a grandma who's older. You know, there's a lot of different challenges, a lot of different things that we face on a daily basis. And really, not only, I mean, and I'm not young anymore, so I don't necessarily always feel like dealing with it. You know, there are days when I'm like, I don't even want to get out of bed, let alone deal with the problem. You know, but the Greek definition to stand is a verb, steko, S-T-E-K-O. It is to absolutely persevere in godliness and rectitude, having moral integrity. So it is a verb. It's something we physically make ourselves do. It is an action word. Amen. we need to stand on God's word, stand on the truth, not stand on what we think or stand on how we feel, because our feelings will change day to day, moment to moment. So we need to know the truth and know that the truth will set us free. You know, I know in that context, you know, knowing the truth means understanding that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that we're going to be with him when this physical body is over. But that applies to everything in our life, knowing the truth. We think on these things, whatever is true and lovely and praiseworthy. Because we can get in the dark depths of despair. And I'm telling you this, ladies, not because this is what you need to do. This is what I had to do. Because there were days that, I was swearing I was not going to get weepy up here. But there were days I did not want to get out of bed. Days I don't want to be here. And this is a wonderful place to work, so please don't misunderstand me. You know, nobody gets to come and go as they please in any job. You know, nobody gets to, you know, see brothers and sisters in the Lord all day long. You know, this is a wonderful place to be. But there are days that I'm like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to answer the phone. You know. Matthew Henry said, the devil assaults us in the things that belong to our souls and labor to debase the heavenly image in our hearts. We must resolve by God's grace not to yield to Satan. Resist him and he will flee. If we give way, he will get ground. If we distrust either our cause, our leader, or our armor, we give him advantage. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it subdues and mortifies evil desires, blasphemous thoughts as they rise within us, and answers unbelief and error as they assault from without. A single text, well understood and rightly applied, at once destroys a temptation or an objection and subdues the most formidable adversary. So I thought, you know, I wasn't going to take too long, but I thought I'm going to share with you some of the things. Believe me, I could never share all the scriptures that God has spoke to me over the years. But some of the things that God has taught me to stand on, things that I've written down in the past. One of them I thought of on the way here, so I had to just stick a little thing in my Bible when I got here. But as a little girl, because I know some of you may not know that, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church and I got saved when I was 9 years old. Now, that does not mean that I served God from the time I was 9 years old until 23. Believe me, I had lots of ups and downs between then. But as a little girl, John 3:16 was something that we learned, that we memorized as a little girl, that I memorized. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then it goes on to say, he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And, you know, and that's the other thing about the word. Sometimes we get caught in like a little verse or a little passage, but we need to know what comes before it and what comes after it to get the full extent. Because just like with the armor of God, understanding that Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He's telling you this is what he had to do to get through those times in his life. There were many times in the New Testament, the things that Paul wrote, he says, I despaired for my own life. I tried not to give way to fear. He was not perfect. He didn't live a perfect life, that he did not struggle with issues. He had to lean upon what God had spoken to him. And that's what we have to do. And as a young woman, you know, I took a lot of bad turns. You know, I did a lot of crazy stuff. Stupid stuff that could have harmed me, but God protected me through it all. And at the end of that, right before I came to this church, and you would think, growing up in a Baptist church, that I would have known a lot of these things, but I know some of these things you ladies have heard before, but at that time in my life, I had never heard some of this stuff before. And I was reading the word because I was in such despair, and I came across Philippians 3:13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read the part that spoke to me to my core. It says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I had to forget what I left behind and strain toward what was ahead because I had made a big mess a big mess that God needed to clean up. And then I met my wonderful husband, and we got married, and then I had children, and that caused more distress. Because they grow up and they start doing stuff, and then they're never, none of them, I must tell you, by the grace and the testimony of God, none of them were ever a trouble. But they did things that kids do. You know, they had things that they had to struggle through on their own, emotional things they had to struggle through, moments when my oldest two I did not think would ever serve God. You know? And I remember God speaking this to me, and I wrote it in my Bible that day. Deuteronomy 30:19, this day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers. And I wrote that in my Bible, and every other day I'd be like flipping it open going, okay. You said, this is what you said, and it didn't matter what I saw, I'm going to hold on to it. If I am in my grave, I know that you're going to do it sometime in my children's life. And then in many times, many different options, this past time my husband did not have a job, that was not the first time he did not have a job. So, you know, there have been many ups and downs, you know, in our life. Many things that I struggled with, emotionally even. You know, even going through PMS and menopause, my gosh, there were moments when you're like, you know, I did despair for my very life because I was like, I ain't going to make it. And I'm just going to ask you to just be patient with me because I am actually going to read this because this was the thing that I would go to on a daily basis, God's word that upheld me, my soul, that I stood on, that I stood with my armor to deflect the enemy's fiery darts. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, this is Psalm 91, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely, he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you in his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And I want you to know that each one of these things at some time in my life have tried to get me, whether it was health or finances or struggles with my kids, he said, surely you will save me from the fowler snare. Amen. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, because you love him, because I love him, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life while I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that is what we stand on. And the truth is, ladies, that even if death does take us, our hope is in glory. I know that doesn't bring my children a lot of comfort, because I remember saying that one time when I was struggling with some illness, and you know, the doctor thought I had a blood clot on my lung, and there were just other little different things that kept happening, And he's like, Shane, are you going to be okay, Mom? I said, I don't know, honey, but you know what? No matter what, I'm going to be okay. And he's like, somehow that doesn't make me feel better. You know, and I understand that because, listen, I don't want to face any loss either. But I still know in the end I will be okay. You know? And in the end, the most recent one, and I'm going to try not to cry through this, ladies, because you can't understand me when I'm crying. So, Isaiah 55, it is my newest one. Actually, it's the one thing that has ministered to me a lot lately. And during the winter, I said, hey, Debbie, will you print this and put it on the board downstairs? She's like, what scripture should we have for the new year? I said, well, we're going to put my scripture. I work here, so I get to do that. That's right, amen. Along with all the many, many, many benefits of being here. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fares. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And Donna had touched on that just for a few minutes, because so very often our thoughts are not his thoughts. We try to reason away our problems, or we try to make a plan. And he's like, that's okay, you make your plans, but I'm going to direct your steps. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And what we think is, really, this has taken a really long time. I really thought that it would be better by now. I thought I would feel better. I thought this thing would be over. But he's working everything out for our good. Our heart has to be in the right place for certain things to happen the way it needs to happen. And Donna can attest to this, that sometimes when you want to be put in a position or in a place, you're not in any place in your own heart and mind to do that. And God has a plan, a thought and a way that is far beyond his. You know, I thought, you know, what if we had done certain things at a certain time in our life in the past? We would have made a wreck of things. Because we were in no way, no way ready to even help ourselves, let alone somebody else. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So the things that happen in our life, things that come down, the rain and the snow, the hard things, it plants what is planted and it nourishes it, not only to bring seed for us, to bring fruit to share for everybody else. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. And I want you to know, I'm sharing this from somebody else, but the English Standard Version says you shall, and a shall is stronger than a will all day long. So you shall go out and forth and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hill shall burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Those things will flourish for God's glory, not ours. Because there is nothing that we can do of ourselves without him. And that is all I got. Sarah has a song that she's going to play. You want to do that first? You can pass it out. It's
whatever you want to do.
Okay. I just have a song that we're going to play at the end. We'll do it after.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time, so if you're not in my home group, you haven't heard me say it, but Gloria bought me a beautiful ornament at Christmas time, and it said, "The Lord made music so that we could pray without words." And so we're going to play this song, and some of you ladies may know this song, and some of you ladies may not know this song, but I would tell you to just give all of your cares to the Lord. Lift your hands up to him and praise him and stand on his word and know his ways are so much higher than yours and trust in what he's doing in your life. Okay, ladies. Donna has a little. We have a little gift that we're going to give out to everybody. It is so darn adorable. Donna found these. They're little Armors of God charms. So, hey, Rachel, since you're young and you have young legs, can you pass these out for us? Thank you, ma'am. And you want to close with some prayer?
Sure. I just hope that you are blessed today, that you'll take the words and allow God to permeate your heart with them. And I hope that this can be a reminder when you're having a hard time to use your battle. Use the things God's given us to fight the battle. Mm-hmm. Lord God, we thank you, Father. We thank you that you love us so much, Lord. We thank you that you have a plan for us, Lord, beyond what we could ever comprehend. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord God, even when we're not faithful to you, Father. And Father, I pray today as we go about our way, Lord, that we would seek you out continually, Lord, that we would seek you out for our sisters, Lord God, for the body. Father, I pray that you would encourage us and show us every scheme of the enemy. Lord, I pray that you would bring to our memory, Lord, when the enemy is doing things and making it seem so real to us, you show us, Father. And I thank you. I thank you for all my sisters here, and I thank you for this time. I'm so thankful we could sit at your feet. So thankful that we can come to you. Bless our day, Lord. And we honor you, give you glory and praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love to.